three ball from CG43. They're in front.
This is flat out ridiculous.
From a beautiful left hand, in and out finish, the old fashioned way.
Newell gets to the basket with one to come. From there again. You have got to be kidding me. Tyson Stiff.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the NBL Pocket Podcast, recording this Monday, 7th of February, sometime in the afternoon, depending on where you're at. My name is Joseph Kaur. I'm joined by Andrew Canyon.
Yeah, hey, Joe. I'm back. I'm sorry. I have to apologize. Straight up, off the gate, I cheated on you. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the guys from Throwback Hoops offered me a deal I couldn't refuse, and so I went on their show, but I'm back here with you. I promise I won't do it again. Until the
next
time.
I knew this ahead of time, and I haven't listened to it just yet because it's only just come out, I think, last night. Very excited to listen. As long as while you were doing it, you thought of me, that's fine, even just a little bit. But Woody, Rob, I think their podcast is amazing. They've been far better friends to us than we have to them. I think they're the finest people doing this, and their show is fucking fantastic.
They do a good show. They do a good show. And I got to say that they open up, that if anybody hasn't watched it or listened to it, it's on YouTube and all everything. They do a classic packs thing. They open up NBA trading cards. And it was fun to be a part of that. It was quite exciting. I knew like two of the players, and those guys were just all over it. You name an NBA player from 1994, and they are just bam.
They got their encyclopedic knowledge of both leagues is uncanny. It is world class is what it is.
Yep. It was good.
Did you pull anyone? Did they pull anyone who were like, "Oh, holy smokes, that player"?
Well, the fun one. There was two really good ones. We got. I don't know if I should spoil it. Nah, I'll tell you.
If you don't want to spoil it, don't spoil it. Actually, you know what? Don't spoil it. People, Throwback Hoops to see who the two most interesting were. Now I have to watch.
Because I made it obvious who I liked. So yeah, watch it. There you go.
Good. You've teased me now. This is your thing. You tease and you flaunt.
Gotta treat you mean. Keep it keen.
What? By the way, follow us on Twitter, whatever our handles are. Topics today, we're talking about a little bit about the broadcast at the top. Then we're talking about the Kings, Jack Jumpers, Caleb Agata, United, Perth Wildcats, RJ Hunter's injury. This is something that kind of went under the radar for a little bit. Not so much the injury itself, but the reaction to Southeast Melbourne, promote versus report, the whole Hodgson getting hurt, and the review, if there's been one and an actual thing handed down. And then who's better, Brisbane or Cairns? So that's all our stuff. And maybe end with a bold prediction. That's what we're going with. I'm going to start up top and we're going to talk about the broadcast. And in particular, this is kind of taking it to the tweets a little bit.
Yep.
Put out a tweet that I was like, John Casey and Brenton Speed are my favorite commentators in the country across any and then Howie as well, Mark Howard. So off any sport, I think they're really good. John Casey over this weekend was on fire. I just thought he did both back to back. He didn't show any signs of fatigue. I thought he was nailing it.
It's good to have him back.
What I want to say.
Felt comfortable. Like it was like an old t-shirt. Just putting it on. Yep. It's like, oh, that's comfy. I like that. Good to have him back.
And what I liked about him, and I want to really make this point, I'm going to tag John Casey in this episode. Hope he listens right up top. What he does that I like. So I'm doing the socials for ESPN and other things while these games are going on. I can't afford to watch the game all the time. Sometimes my gaze is on copywriting or putting out a video. When he's in the background and when he's commentating, what he does is he shells out at least, at minimum, 10 to 15 pieces of usable copywriting substance. And what I mean by that, an example, he'll say something like, in 240 occasions that United have played whoever else, they've never lost the first quarter. And you're like, oh, write that down. That's a good stat that could be nice in, you know, if you're doing a newspaper article title like, you know, Melbourne beat such and such.
Yep.
That could be in your topic sentence. And he gives out 10, maybe 15 of these. You know, oh, Lamar Patterson is shooting this percentage in the last four games. And you're like, oh, down on percentage. Chris Golding has missed his last 21 shots consecutively. Something like that is just such a neat little stat to take over to socials, Twitter, newspaper. He nails them every time. He's so prepared. Yep. I just wanted to start the show with some love. Sorry to soak up the mic.
He is the consummate professional. And if anybody has, I hope that people have seen his little black book that he carries around. It's very old school. He preps and diarizes in this little file of facts planner thing. And it's sort of, you know, scripted out in a way that probably only he understands. but it's quite impressive. I think he might have even shared a screenshot of it once on Twitter, but yes. I've seen him talk about it on TV and that kind of thing in the past. Just amazing the level of prep he does. It shows. And and kudos
to him. He
does it
on the fly. Because he'll go like, you know, oh, that was the lowest second quarter scoring or whatever. And maybe he's being fed that information by the stat man. Maybe. But either way, he communicates it.
Still puts it in. Yeah, he still. It's one thing to be told it, and it's another thing to remember to say it and say it at a time that makes sense.
Yeah.
And he's good.
So I'm putting my foot down. I'm putting my foot down here. The definitive commentary. Your top. If you were gun to your head, you have to have three guys calling every NBL game from now on. Go. Who are they?
Of the current crew. Okay.
Of the current crew.
I'm going to have Casey. John yep. Casey just mentioned. I'm going to have Liam Santa Maria.
Okay.
And I'm going to have Jack Kevren.
Whoa. I see Jack. Explain. I'll give my three and then you can explain yours. I'm going with Casey, Andrew Gaze, and Homicide. Now you explain your three.
Okay. So Casey, John Casey, we've just talked about him. He's a pro, yep, right? Easy. So he's the anchor. You've got Liam, who's still learning the trade, but is improving. Yep. Week by week.
Best still. Analytical and tactician. Yeah,
definitely. And he has the combination of analysis, but not, he doesn't overcook it. You know, he can still talk to the layman. So that's why I've got him. And then Jack Everett, maybe I've over-anchored it. I might have too many anchors, but I just like the way that he provides some, I like some of his lines. He's low-key funny and he just ties everything together well. If I need a color guy, if I've got to have a color guy, oh, it's probably going to be Andrew Gaze.
Here's why I've gone with my three. Casey, we've spoken about obvious. Andrew Gaze, he's undeniable. The brand is too big. The brand is too big. He's too much of an everyman. Whether his comments are good or bad, it really doesn't matter. He is an entertainment entity. Has to be there. You think basketball in Australia, think Gaze for that reason.
Yep.
And then I say Homicide because you got to skew young. And I was talking to someone in the league about this the other day. Homicide is the, when you are new to basketball or new to the NBL and you watch a broadcast, he's the first guy you gravitate towards.
Mm.
He's high energy. His level of energy is the highest in commentary in this country. He's always laughing.
I'm going to tell you, Joe. I'm going to tell you. 100%.
And you have to have an American voice for this
you
sport.
Do. You do.
And that's why I'd go with those three. And Liam, if I could, I'd fly him everywhere and run him the boundary because I think he's the guy who's the most fearless of asking questions. Him and Rucker
boundaries. I was going to say, who would you put on the side? Yeah, I would have put put D. Ruck on the court side. Although Damian Martin's good as well.
Too like he'll always end everything with a back in my day. Oh, I tell you that. Nah, I think I'd have Liam doing the swing, all the Melbourne courtside, Adelaide and Perth, and then I'd have Rucker doing Queensland, and then Brad Rosen in Sydney.
Rightio.
Hey,
there you go.
Add us at Twitter if you give us your three. Let's jump on. Do you want to talk about the Kings or the Jack Jumpers?
Jack Jumpers, they deserve to be spoken of first.
You go for it. What do you want to say?
Well, apart from really, are they a legitimate team at this point? Like they were kind of like, haha, lovely, you know, expansion team. Good on them. Under talented, but they'll play with effort. Well, now they're really playing well, and they've got it worked out. They beat Sydney, and I sort of thought, oh, hang on, Sydney, what's going on with them? But now I'm thinking maybe that's not such a rough loss because then they go and beat United. They're amazing and they've just bought in. I love it. They all seem so happy. They're a good team.
They're on a four-game win streak. But really, who have they beaten that time? Sydney.
United.
New Zealand. United is a good one.
Yeah.
But they've had – here's my trepidation about going, oh, they're a top four.
I'm not saying top four, Joe. I'm not saying top four. Let's not get carried away.
Pardon me.
But I'm saying –
you're saying are they a real team? Yeah, I think that's fair to say. Are they a real team? And you mean like sixth range?
Yeah, yeah. They're not roadkill on the NBL schedule this year, are they?
No, they're definitely not roadkill. I'll say that. Are they like a Brisbane – I don't know. They've had a good schedule. They've had a lot of home games, even some away games that have been at home. They've worked it out. This season is all about defense. The best defensive teams are winning it. The refs are going to allow teams to just grind it down. Look at Melbourne. They've been so successful doing it.
Yep.
But they're a real team. If you had to offer an explanation for the four-game win streak, what would it be?
Okay. I would say, well, they've maintained their defensive intensity, so they're still getting up and in a fair bit. But that's not what's changed it. What's changed it is the way that they're running their offense now is – been adjusted, they're getting like Josh Adams is attacking the rim a bit more. That's opening up the court, and Will Magnay has returned to the force, which has opened up the perimeter. So now guys like Majet and Jack McVay are actually getting open looks.
Yep. That's my explanation. I'm sorry to jump in, but I got to.
No,
that's
your
stats don't jump out. The defensive rating is not huge. He's only averaging about 8 points, seven or eight rebounds over this four-game win streak. But I'll tell you what he does, and he does it probably the best in the NBL. He'll come up, he'll set a fleet-footed high pick, and when he picks it, he rolls directly to the front of the rim, and he drags people with it.
Yep.
Look at how much more space Majet and Adams. They've had way better games, way better percentages, and just look more impactful and better players. He's made them twice, three times the players they are. I'm really happy for Magnet. He looks energized and fun.
Yep.
The numbers aren't quite there yet, but they're a low-scoring team. So,
and I don't care about numbers. It's the eye test with him, isn't it? He's bouncy. He's challenging shots. He's getting in passing lanes with his long arms. And and like you say, he's rolling to the rim, looking to be a threat. Didn't see that in Perth last year.
No, he was hurt. And this is the thing. I think that he was hurt. He was heartbroken. And now he goes to a team that's, you know.
Can you imagine after all the disappointments and frustrations and anger he had with all the contracts and the money and all that with Brisbane. Imagine just sitting down with Scott Roth for a couple of hours and chatting it out, and he'd probably give you a cup of tea and a hug at the end of it. God, you'd feel better about yourself, wouldn't you?
Over a Willie Smith's.
Oh, yes.
Big Willie Smith's styles. It's good stuff.
I just want to be friends with Scott Roth. I'm just disclosing it, man. I just want to be friends.
His energy's great. His press conference is always thoughtful. He's an honest. He's a great guy. I really got a lot of time for him. Great hiring. I mean, this is not a particularly star-studded roster at all.
No.
And he's got him playing. They move the ball well. I mean, my one criticism is they drag games down defensively a lot. They're not. Sometimes they'll go two whole halves.
But that's their competitive advantage, right?
Like, if nothing else, it's their style. Yeah, it is their style. You know you're watching this team, even if the color was off or the, you know, you'd know it.
Yep.
6.5 was their over-under at the start of the year. They've won a four-game win streak. I think they're on 6 wins, aren't they?
They are, yeah.
They're going to make it.
They're going to do it.
They're going to make it. I don't know where we sat. I don't know if I was over or under. You were over or under. But
I have a feeling I said under. I'd have to go back and check the tape. I think I said under.
I just thought 6.5 was so low. I mean, that's – and then I thought, oh, COVID's probably going to sneak in. So I'm not claiming anything special, but looks like they're obviously going to make that. And, they'll push a lazy team like Brisbane, who we're going to talk about in a second. So they're a real team. Yep. They're not just an easy beat, which is really, really good. Do you want to go on to the Kings?
Sure, let's talk Kings. What do you got to say about them?
Well, Jalen Adams, one of 7 from 3 in his last one, 1 of 9.
Yeah, I pumped his tires up a week too early, didn't I?
Well, I think he's talented. I think he's a really good player, really, really good. I just think this offense is so helter-skelter, shoot when you want. And I really have to talk about what happened in the presses. Buford, at the end of the loss to Tasmania, which was a bad game. They scored 70 points.
Yep.
Got beaten 70. Like, got really, I think they even blew the lead a little bit. I really can't recall, but they just got beaten. And I was like, this is, you're meant to be a top 4, 5, 6 team. You can't lose games like this. But in the press conference, someone asked him the question, like, what's going on with the game? And to his credit, or in fairness to him, a lot of the times he had to say, oh, we just missed shots. But then he got kind of snappy and condescending towards the end. Someone asked a fair question, and he goes, what we need to do is get that big round orange thing and put it in the air and it go through the hoop. And part of me was like, fuck it, don't do that shit. If it was in person, I would have said, man, don't speak to me or people like that. Slap.
Yeah.
And that pissed me off. I hate that sort of level of condescension. But here's the thing I'd say in reply, if I would ask that question, I said, well, you're 8th in 3-point percentage in the league, so second, third bottom, and you take the second most attempts behind Perth. How about you do an offense that's not just helter-skelter? Like, there's just no nuance to that offense. And so, oh, I hope the ball goes in. Like, yeah, we all hope it goes in. But what happens when it doesn't? Do you have any sort of backup plan other than rolling the ball out to Adams to shoot it every time and go 2 of 16 in their last 2 games? Mm. That shit just bugs me. Sorry for language.
No, that's fine. I'm okay with it. Hope our listeners are.
Is that their team?
I think
is this their team or are they underperforming?
Well, bit of both, probably. Like, I think this is the team, this is the structure they went with. It was always going to be played this way. So I think, and some games, like the next game back at home, and Pasiljevic was knocking down those threes, and suddenly
true.
It looks a lot better. And you could say the same things, you know, the Wildcats have the same thing as well. You know, when they're knocking down their threes, everything looks way better. So I think that's just part and parcel of what they've decided to do. Having said that, I just want to go back to the Buford in the presser. This seems to be a common thing that happens in Sydney, is people associated with the club tend to take on like this bad negative attitude. It's like this vibe in the club seems to turn them into grumpy people. I don't know. I mean,
Ford was explosive last year. And Weaver had his moments of condescension too.
Yeah, yeah. And it just, you know, it just seems that there's something about that club that it whether it's, you know, fostering an us against the world mentality, or, you know, it's like an under siege sort of mentality. But, I mean, you look at Shamir, whose season is doing worse, team's doing worse, everything's gone wrong. And he's still a little more thoughtful in the press conferences and a little more sanguine.
Yeah, nice word. Yeah, I agree. I think Sydney's a tough place for sports, and I think it would drag you down. And they started with such promise and the injury. So I'm not throwing all the dirt in the world on Buford. I will just say this, though, to throw dirt on Buford. Sorry. But they've gone from Adam Ford, who looks really good in Cairns. We're going to talk about him in a second.
Yep.
Or James Duncan. They had those guys in their organization.
Yep.
You know, Duncan for a couple of years, Ford for just the one. But they had these two guys. Of the three, who would you choose? Buford, Duncan, or Ford?
Me personally, I'd go with Duncan.
You personally? And secondly?
Ford.
So they've come up with a third best option. I'd mirror you. I'd actually have Ford ahead of Duncan, but not by a lot.
Yep.
But we both agree that, and people out there, you tell us, but they had these three options, and by all accounts, they've sort of landed with the worst one.
Mm.
When you had two guys within your camp, you know, that's must be frustrating. So
yeah, you think like CJ, for instance, he played for the Kings, had lots of success for the Kings. They didn't reach out to him.
Presumably,
You know, so he ended up in Adelaide. It's an interesting approach.
I want to talk, we've done Sydney. I want to go to Melbourne, if you don't mind, and Caleb Agata.
Mm. Yes.
What you forget about Melbourne is they have another import slot.
I know. He's their sole import, right? Was their sole? So that was his. Their...
Yeah, he's their only import.
Yeah.
So two more.
That's right.
So do you think they're going to use him? And also, can United win with only two scorers? I know they've won a lot, but I feel like, geez, if they brought in just another scorer, because they kind of, Agata and Golding have sort of traded having good games.
Yeah.
Dellavedova's have been hugely up and down. What are they going to do? Like, they need a second scorer, I think.
Do you think they will move on it?
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
You think so? You think they'll get another player?
Oh, for sure. This is Melbourne United. You know, they've got money, and Larry likes to win, and so does Hutchie and whoever else owns the team. I think if they look around and go, we've got we're second, third on the table. Yeah, let's go out and spend.
So what do you think? Like another small forward sort of?
Scotty Hobson.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
they need a score. There's just that lacking scoring. Their defense is world class.
Yep.
Not just best in the NBL, world class.
Well, they get a lot.
Yeah, a little bit more consistent offense.
They get away with a lot. They're allowed to push.
You want to talk about that? Their defensive license is absurd.
I'm sorry. Like, I'm all about Mikhail. I can never say his first name properly. I'm sorry.
Mikhail McIntosh.
He had a good game, right? Okay. Well done. We all occasionally have good games. I still don't rate him as a player, but he tried to take the ball down court just before halfway. Just tries a little, behind the back and just gets hip and shouldered.
It was unbelievable. It was probably the worst no call of all time. But Melbourne have existed this way. This is Dellavedova's influence.
Yeah.
You know, Vic Country, give you a cheap shot. You know, instead of a slap, it's a maul. And there's nothing in the rule book really against it. And that's their style, and it's working for them. So all power to United. But yeah, that one was so bad. And I think, honestly, these refs have come into a game where they've been without crowds for the most part, or smaller crowds. And then they had 7,500 at John Cain Arena with that singer at halftime who I had no idea who that was.
Tones and
bless you. And I was like, and I think they got overwhelmed by that crowd and as a result just permitted, to Scrag. Yeah. It's crazy.
But not to deviate too far away, I will say that they won't get another player because I think that they can't afford it, salary cap and all that kind of stuff.
I think you cut someone, twist someone, do something dodge. I've got to pay him for the last seven games of the season.
Could do that sort of thing. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. But I think what they're looking for, they need Jack White to be that other scorer.
Well, so good. Jack White, Huck Porty. Huck Porty's really good. Huck Porty's magne, but not as good. Huge body, pick, roll, lob. He's so athletic. And then Jack White. You saw his value. Come on, they lost, you know, without him. And it was so – they looked a little bit slower and, he's fantastic.
Just on Huck Porty, he's like a next star, right? And he's young, what, 20-odd or something. He looks like he's about 35 years old.
Oh, man, he's a freak. He is so big.
Just his face as well. He just looks like an older guy. Yeah. So interesting.
Back to Garda.
Yeah, he's slumping.
Over his last four games, you tell me. 7 points per game over his last four, 11 of 39, 28% from the field.
He needs to get back on the rim.
Yeah, I agree. He's
settling for that jump shot.
Teams have worked him out a little bit.
Yep. Isn't it interesting? The game that he went off and we all thought, ooh, this could be a real player, that was against the Hawks. And what have the Hawks been complaining about? That they can't play defense. Interesting.
I haven't got the Hawks on my run. Oh, I kind of do. Do you want to talk about them?
Not really.
Okay.
Wait till, this is prior to the game tonight where they play against Southeast Melbourne. What I'll say about – I will say one thing.
They're not losing this game, after that pitiful loss.
This is the game where we figure out if either Southeast Melbourne or the Hawks are actually legitimate threats.
You nailed it. It's a really good game. That's on at 7:30 on the East Coast. People definitely tune in. Let's go with Perth Wildcats then.
All right.
My question to you, Andrew.
Yep.
Can we just book him into the grand final already?
May as well.
You agree?
I think so. I don't see why they wouldn't fill one of those spots.
Can you make any case against it?
Travel. But I almost feel like they've got a chip on their shoulder about this now, and it's almost like the FU approach to it, and they're just going to do it anyway. You know, I think they've gone the opposite to the Breakers, who are probably just over it. I feel like they're like embracing it. Why wouldn't
I'd
they?
I'd love to know. Sorry to interrupt. I'd love to know the spend difference between how Perth are combating COVID. Have they got really nice conditions and whatever else? And maybe the Breakers are slumming it. I don't know. Or slummed it last year. I don't know. But Perth have weathered this.
The Breakers in the caravan park.
I mean, the problem is the Breakers just aren't as good a team.
No. Young.
Just plain and simply not as good.
Yep. But no, I don't see who else. I mean, are there two other teams that should be there ahead of them? No, I don't think so.
Exactly.
So it's
unless COVID takes out Cotton and Law, which it could. That's the only case I can make.
Yeah.
That they lost both of them. Even one of them.
Yeah. The thing that gets me is Perth could get better. Okay. What they could do, they could either make a move on Frazier, who I'm still not really sold on.
It's surplus to requirement.
Yep.
Yeah.
Or who knows if this might happen. Bryce Cotton becomes an Australian. Like, this has been talked about for 2 years. I don't know what's going on.
Next presser we're in, I'm going to ask the question, what on earth has gone on? And what is going on?
I know. Surely you can become an Australian citizen after this length of time. I don't care whether you're good at basketball or you're just a plumber.
I know. Not anything wrong with
plumbing. Nothing against plumbers. I can't fix a tap to save myself. But, it's just been such a long time. I don't see how it could not have happened. Even if you just went down, you know, just go to the local parliamentarian's office and say, I want to become a citizen, please. Can I fill out a form? You know,
unbelievable.
What's going on there?
Adam Pensack, agent of Bryce Cotton, sent me an email a little while ago. I got an email reply. Make that happen, pal. It'd be more money for you and your partner. Anyway, unless there is some sort of, well, here we go. Is there some sort of financial benefit to not becoming a citizen? No.
Well, the only thing I can think of is that the IRS are very, very difficult to deal with if you're a
dual
citizen and you need to basically revoke American citizenship. Otherwise, they come after your money.
Well, and to make this point, the United States is the only country that charges income tax on foreign residents.
Yes.
So if you're an American living in Indonesia or Australia, you pay taxes to the USA despite not living there.
Yep.
So I wonder what Cotton's arrangement is. Maybe he's pulled the pin, but how many imports have – it has to be a financial benefit to be a citizen, surely.
Well,
because then teams can pay you as a local.
You can go to, you know, he gets a Medicare card. Next time he has a tweaked ankle, you know, just, I'm an Aussie, help me out.
Really bizarre. There's something up.
I want answers, right? I'm going to have to get my investigative journalism hat on to this one. So anyway.
I just want to make this point about Perth. Oh, sorry, you were saying.
No, they could get better. And so, yes, they're in the finals.
Book them in. I'm off with you. Book it in. Lock it in. People betting, bet it now. It's just going to happen. They're just so talented. And it just speaks to the whole narrative of, oh, COVID, oh, they're locked out. No, when the Breakers had it, everyone was like, oh, Breakers, you're breaking my heart. How can we help you, please? Wildcats shut out of Perth. It's like, yeah, whatever. It's so cynical. Cotton and Law are first and third in points per game, respectively.
It's like
the next best import duo. Sorry.
Yeah, who's the studliest stud? You know, they complement one another so well. Doesn't seem to be any animosity. No Julian Banjos. Sorry.
It's an import league. It always has been, whether you choose to admit that or not. You look at the MVP list, it's predominantly imports, especially after the money comes in the league. They've got the first and first and second best imports. I think they've got the first and second best players in the NBL. The next best import duo, Patterson and Franks, are fourth and 10th. I mean, that's a big drop off. Yeah. First down to fourth, third down to 10th. And then the next after that is actually Adams and Majet, 13 and 14.
Wow.
Only in points per game, I mind you. Okay. But fair indication. The other thing I want to say about them is Jesse Wagstaff. I thought this guy was going to either age, slow down, or break down. He's done none of the three, quite the opposite. His role is just so defined.
Yep.
Catch and shoot, catch, pump fake, move. And then on the other side of it, be a nuisance.
Fall over.
Fall over. Unbelievable. And then Mitch Norton. I want to really, you know, people say we're a bit negative here. I want to be positive. Mitch Norton plays so effing hard.
Yep.
There was a possession where he was on the floor on defense. Then it went to offense. He got a layup. He fell on the floor, got back up, dived on a ball three times on the floor in three plays. I was like, I'm not a huge fan of his, you know, I don't think he's the most super talented player in the NBL, but. He anchors that defense.
Yeah.
He's a really good player. Really impactful player.
Yep. Yep. Totally trustworthy.
Trustworthy and then just brutally hardworking.
Yep. He's very good. Mm. And that's why they're going to be in the finals.
In the grand final.
In the grand final, yes.
Can you, with any confidence, book in their rival? Who would you say is making the grand final right now?
Well, you'd have to say Melbourne United, I think, at this point. I think that they're the other standout team. I don't trust Phoenix yet. Like they're looking, they're getting better, and then they take a backward step. If they get their full roster together, it'll be really interesting to see how they perform. Hawks, I'm virtually out on.
Well, you're out. Okay, let's go back to Southeast Melbourne before we talk about the Hawks. You don't trust them, and why is that?
The Phoenix, they just too many wing guys that I can't rely on. Even Brokoff, their premier wing guy,
You've nailed what I was going
just
to say.
Can't, yeah, sorry. Just can't get on board with it. Brandon Ashley's really helpful for them because he can rebound some of those misses, and there are so many misses. And Mitch Creek is a phenom at playing the game of basketball. But
Munford? Where do you sit on Munford?
Sorry?
Where do you sit on Munford? Their import, sorry.
He started well, but he's faded. I'm not loving it. Not loving him.
They looked really bad in that game, but they had their entire bench missing. And I felt so bad for Lachlan Barker, I want to say his name. Was it Baker or Barker? Barker.
Barker, I think it is, yeah.
They were on the floor. The Wildcats were all like pointing like, oh, he's on that side now. Get the ball over there. It was so mean. It was brutal. So I have some sympathy for Southeast Melbourne. They've had a really bad – their losses have coincided with COVID.
Yep.
But – have a guess at Brokoff's numbers. Guess how many points per game he's scoring.
I'm going to say 9.
9.6.
Oh, that's not bad. Jeez, okay. Not bad, my guess. It's actually a really bad level of production.
There's a guy who played NBA in the – there's a guy who played Boomers and NBA.
Have you got his three-point clip?
I do. Guess what he's shooting from three?
27%.
23%. Jeez. from the floor?
42.
39.
Not good. It's not good,
and
man.
I'm kind of like, and I've had faith in this guy for a long time, but gee, it's, my faith is just waning and bending, if not broken. We've had enough time now. The defense is fine. Absolutely, the defense is good, in fact. But I thought he was going to be at least a catch knockdown. Vasiljevic numbers, right?
Yeah, yeah.
10, 15. And the, oh, gee, he had that big game where he hit 5 threes.
Yep.
Has he had one game like that in the NBL yet?
I think he might have had a preseason game. Does that count?
No, it does not count. So I'm like, in the NBA, he was a 12th man, come in, stand in that corner. When you catch it, shoot it. And when you shoot it, make it.
Yep.
He's had those options that just haven't gone down. And at the end of the day, you just are what you are. Do you think he is what he is? Or are you still holding out hope?
Okay. I'm going to ask you a question now. I'm going to give you the choice of two players. You can have Ryan Brokoff or you can have Clint Steindl.
Steindl.
Mm, there you go.
I've always been a huge Steindl guy because, Gleason's a hard coach to play for. Steindl can – I just think Steindl's got a game off the dribble – off footed catches.
Yeah.
He can come off a screen and catch it. And
turn around off that screen, yeah.
And also, Steindl's really underrated. I really want to pump his tires too. He is freakishly long and a bit taller than people give him credit for. And he just – and he jumps high and he's got a high catapult-like release. Yep. I'm a huge Steindl guy. And I think Jack Jumpers underuse him.
Yeah, I think they do a bit too. I think they're an interesting comparison because they're both that gangly, sort of long-armed, three-point shooting priority. But Brokoff has the reputation. He has probably the income.
Resume.
He has the NBA experience. But I'm taking Clint Steindl. And if that doesn't tell you where Brokoff stands in this situation now.
Well. Yeah, I agree. And then the other real weak worry I have with Southeast Melbourne, Ashley paints over the cracks a little bit, but I think teams have worked out Joe Chi.
Yeah.
He's very gangly.
It's foul prone.
Pretty chippy as well. Foul prone. Loves to throw an elbow. What is it coming? But I spoke to Simon Mitchell in the week. I was like, oh, well, yeah, Joe Chi and the drops. He's like, well, we don't do defensive drops. And I said to him, well, fuck, someone should tell Joe Chi because he's a mile off the play. There's a pick set on the weekend. Maybe they switched to play drops that game against who they lose to badly. Can't remember now.
What, Perth?
No, South East Melbourne. Who they got beat? Yeah, Perth.
Yeah.
Where they had the big lead and dropped it. He was on these picks a mile off the play, and you can't do that with Bryce Cotton. We've seen that when Sydney lost to them in the grand final in the COVID year. I just think Joe Chi, just very slow. He's got some benefit, but the matchup has to be perfect. They'll make the four. You agree with that? Do you have worries about them?
They'll make the four.
I agree. But I'm like, I think they'll be pulled apart. Are they going to beat anyone once there? I guess is my next question.
Yeah, it would take a superhuman performance from somebody like a Mitch Creek who just says, look, I'm just going to do it all. I don't think I can't count on him doing it all in a way, like in a two or three games for a series.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, like, yeah, one game. He'll win. He might win you one game.
Oh, yeah, he'll win a game in a series. He won one last year.
Yeah.
And almost won a third. Almost won a second in game three.
But it's too much to ask for one guy to win a series.
They've got to hit shots. And, I agree. But the fact that I'm very confident on making the four, just because Illawarra, I'm just not sold on. Speaking of Illawarra, I want to talk to you about this. This is something I've let marinate for a little bit. I want to bring up now. Do you recall when RJ Hunter got hurt in Illawarra and then he posted on Instagram saying, who are you people? Someone gets hurt and you cheer the play and you say horrible things as I'm hurt at work going off the floor.
Yes.
Did you read that?
Yes.
Yep. So I read that with interest. I thought, I wonder if the league or the club will do anything. And perhaps they have behind the scenes, haven't inquired, but also they haven't made that public knowledge. But I just want to compare the difference. RJ Hunter goes down in Illawarra, cops BS from the crowd, Instagram post disappears. Last year, or maybe it was the year before, that fan in Perth tells one of the Brisbane Bulls, tells one of the players to go kill yourself. Remember that?
Oh, vaguely. Yeah.
Lambasted. Who is this guy? The Wildcats release a statement. The NBL releases a statement.
Yep.
What pisses me off about this, I found it really cynical. The tiki torches were lit by a faction of the NBL crowd. and this guy in Perth, who's just a fan, he's not in the media, he's not anything else, and they picked up on it and they had vision of it and they went hard. This RJ Hunter thing happens and nothing. And I just thought, don't use someone like that fan in Perth for confirmation bias,
yep,
to sort of to use them as a vehicle for your own, take a ammunition against the Perth Wildcats. And I'm not defending the Perth Wildcats. I'm not a Wildcat fan. I'm just saying, I just see right through that SHIT. I thought it was pitiful, pathetic, lame,
yep,
and really unfair. And whoever that fan is, you know, if you're going to do that stuff, that's fine. But whoever those fans were in Illawarra, get them out, drag them out, put them on camera. If you've got footage, release it. And, you know, yep. I just thought it was really, I hate unfairness. It's, I don't know if you've got a
well
reaction.
Said. No, be better. Be better, fans. And be better, everybody.
And don't say that. Someone gets hurt. Like,
nah.
That's dreadful. Let's move on. Speaking of sort of media side of the NBL, promote versus report and Hodgson.
Yeah.
Have you, is there any releases? You take the mic. I'm going to have a look around.
I don't think there is, but just to update people. So you had Matt Hodgson was found to be guilty by the independent tribunal of one person, I think it was. And then subsequently the NBL has decided to appeal that independent decision, which makes it a bit pointless. I think the whole idea of having a independent person is that, you know, it's independent. But obviously there's a rule in there that says you can appeal it, yeah, right? If you're not happy, you can appeal it. I wonder how that would have gone if the club tried to appeal. But nevertheless, it's, you know, I know Scott Morrison has sort of said, you know, he did his survivor analogies and said, I thought it was their tribunal and how can they appeal their decision? Well, they can because it is independent, right? So yes, it wasn't a league person.
No.
So
no.
It was like going to
work. They did the same thing the Opals did when they handed the Cambage stuff, yeah, handballed it off.
So obviously I think the league is worried about, or they obviously think that it was more graphic or risky than the punishment, you know, meted out. Mm. So they obviously want a harsher punishment.
What do you think?
Like you say, and what Scott Morrison has said, they've also spent, and this is classic NBL, they spent the week like promoting it. Look at this, look, smash, smash, biffo in the NBL. They did the same thing with Mason Peatling doing the shoulder shove on Mitch Creek. You know, they love the promotion, but then they want to be like, we've got to punish you for that.
Well, before I talk about promotion versus report, what do you think of the decision? 1 week? I actually think that's,
I thought it was about right, because it was three downgraded, and it's suspended for 2 years. So he's got to keep his nose clean for 2 years.
Oh, I didn't know that part. Good spot.
So I think that's reasonable.
If Childress's hit is one, yeah, I think someone put this out on Twitter, and whoever did, tip of the cap.
Yep.
If Childress's one, because that actually caused damage. That was brutal. This was like, it was playful. And Vasevich dived on the first.
Yep.
There was no physical, whereas that one was, there was no intent to hurt with this one. Whereas Childress was vicious.
Yeah.
That was,
I watched it again, actually, the Childress one, just to remind myself. Like, yeah, it really was. And he got up, it's all premeditated, you know, like he got knocked down,
oh,
got up, lined it up.
A battering ram. Yeah, it was unbelievable. So in that, and the fact that it's 2 years suspended, could it have been two, it could have very easily been 2 weeks. I think you could make the argument that, listen, Hodgson, you pushed him once,
yeah,
and then with all the crowd and all the cameras, yep, and everything, you pushed him again. Like you took a bad situation and made it worse, and you did it
but
really blatantly, and it was an FU to the team and your team, their team, the league, the cameras, and then you knew that would incite a brawl. And so one for the act, one for the incitement of the second push that caused everything. So I think it'll probably go up to two. Do you think it'll go up to two?
I think it probably will. I would love for the appeal to be denied and for it to stay what it is, just because. And I would also like it if there was some way that on appeal we'd notice that Chase Buford stormed the play huddle and now we're going to suspend and fine him.
I thought it was lucky. He probably should have at least got named or considered.
Yeah.
He ran in a lot, but I don't think he should miss time for it, but maybe a couple hundred.
No,
fine.
But I reckon Hodgson will get another game. And you know what? Who cares? They look better without him anyway.
That's brutal, but it's true. But, 2 weeks. I think one or 2 weeks is very fair. As far as promote versus report, I really want to – I think I'm a big believer in words mean what words mean. I don't think the NBL promotes this stuff. I really don't. I think they report it. It happened in a game. It must be reported on their channels.
Okay.
Has to be. I was working it. I put up a clip of it. It went gangbusters. 20,000, you know, good views, good interactions.
Yep.
You know, combat sports are very, very popular. And, you know, basketball can occasionally spill into that. I actually don't think it's beyond the game either. I actually think this is part of competition. I've never really bristled at it, but I don't wrap myself in the flag of children and like, oh, think of the children. I'm like, yeah, you want to play sport? Odds are you're going to get pushed.
Yeah.
That play, if it happens in live play, I mean, Golding did it. McIntosh didn't get a call for a foul. So I don't see it as a horrible thing. And I don't think they promoted it. I think they reported it. It's a clear distinction between using it. So next time Perth plays Sydney, if they use that footage,
yeah,
I actually wouldn't have a problem with that either, but I could see how people would. But as far as this, no, man, reporting. And I think this argument that if you're going to promote it, you can't fine. Nathan Sobey came out on Twitter, Andrew Bogut as well. I just find that line to be such bull crap and so specious. I don't buy it. What do you think?
Specious. We're pulling out.
Superficially plausible.
We are pulling out the good words today.
What did you have before?
We are the, if you had an all Roger's Thesaurus top five, like we are both in it, my friend.
What was yours before? That was
What did I say? Something good. I've forgotten it now.
So good I didn't even know.
I have to listen back. Oh.
But specious. I just think, if we're gonna promote it, it's like, yeah, we're gonna report it. It happened. What are you talking about?
Yep.
What do you think about that distinction and players and fans taking that?
Line? You know, I like it being played back. Okay, because I think it adds to the theater of the sport. And you're like, if there's a bit of biffo in the past, you want to know about it, and it spices up the next game. So I'm pro promotion. But it does sort of leave a little bit of a dirty taste in your mouth when they, especially on appeal, you know, they appeal the punishment and all that kind of thing. It's like, come on, guys, like just let's not overcook the punishment angle of this stuff. And so, like, I don't know, I'm an old man now, so I go back, back to the 90s, even the 80s, which was before my time, really. I mean, geez, you'd have a punch up like that every game, right?
Yeah, and I'm all for not. I'm okay with it happening and being punished. You know, you don't want to see players getting punched in the faces. You know,
depends on the player. A couple of players, yeah, okay.
Depends upon the fan as well. But Perth come back to Sydney or Sydney go to Perth.
Yeah.
If they show that and go, last time the two teams met, Perth lost, da 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 da, and Matt Hodgson, they show the footage again. To me, that's just a part of setting scene. That's not promotion necessarily.
Mm.
So I actually don't see an issue with it. And
okay, we're done on that one. I've got a couple of Cairns type ends based questions, okay?
Do indeed.
Okay, so we saw the last game. We saw Bull Kowal absolutely shoot the lights out, right? So first of all, I want your thoughts on him, and then I have another unrelated follow-up question. But tell me about what you make of this young fella.
First question I have for you is who – the F-U-C-K is this guy. Where'd he come from? He's just sprung out of nowhere. Adam Ford has just touched this guy, touched by an angel. He's really good. I've got some stats on him. 34th in points per game. I mean, that's not a number that's, it's not top 10, but of the 10 teams, he's the third best scorer across, for his team. This guy came from nowhere.
Yep.
I'm really pleased for him. 54th in PER. There's 100 players in the league and he's middle of the ground. It's a guy who'd be on minimum. This guy would be getting nothing. So absolute full credit to him. Full credit to him.
Yep.
And then credit to Adam Ford for finding him. And he hits shots. This is a game I thought we'd see from Ryan Brokoff every second or third game.
We
get it from Bull Kowal on what would be a development deal of not a lot. I just got great respect for the kid and a heck of a lot for Adam Ford for sitting around and watching games in dingy tin shed stadiums and picking out talent. That's what this league needs. Jerry Wright was known for and Adam Ford has now, with this one, made a reputation for himself.
Yep. That's fantastic. I loved watching him play. It was really, really fun. Awesome. And he just couldn't miss. He was amazing. Okay, follow up, unrelated question.
And as a result, sorry to jump. As a result, I was like, I'm going to give this kid a stroke. So on ESPN, you know, because normally you just go to the top players. I was like, no, I'm clipping up all eight of this guy's three-pointers, putting it up on the site, no less. Not just the socials, nice. The site. So go to that. So Bill Kuol.
ESPN.
Give me some money.
All right, SportsCenter.
There you go. Sorry, keep going.
Is Keanu Pinto good?
He's athletic, and I think, is he good? All right, I'll preface this by saying he's one of the more athletic guys in the league. Him, Hakpori, Magne.
Yep.
And those guys pop, and you can see it where the athleticism's come out of the league a little bit. I think the refs are to blame for that because they let guys defend so strongly, but his athleticism is – he's a top five athlete in the NBL, and that sort of stuff really – counts on the court because it's X amount of meters long and the hoop's 10 feet high. And if you can jump higher and run faster, you're going to do quite well. Is he good? Under Adam Ford, yes. Not under Adam Ford,
okay,
yes.
Okay, yep. Yep. That's a good answer. Okay. What? I think that's a really good characterization of him and his athleticism. What he needs to keep getting better at are his brain fades. Like, I feel like he's more disciplined this year than he was in Adelaide. And that is probably, you know, Connor Henry. What are you, there you go.
Agreed.
But his decision-making still needs to improve. Like, did you see the three-point shot that he launched?
I did, yeah. Someone clipped it up for the socials on Twitter.
It was, in the context of the game, it didn't really make much sense. But then when you see the result, it's like, it hit top right corner of the backboard, basically. It's like from a dead straight on position. It was so funny. And it's like, I just don't know this guy. Like, is he ever going to be a three-point shooter or is he just going to, I don't know. He's just, no. He makes me laugh. And I guess that's a good thing, right? I should be happy.
Yeah,
I should be happy that he's there to watch because he is entertaining.
His plays are fantastic. He's got good dunks. He's got, but effective. He's not just flashy. Yeah, we were harsh on him in Adelaide. Yeah. I think rightfully so. I just think that team, everyone looked bad. I mean, Jack McVeigh was playing himself out of the league.
Yeah.
He had 20 points on, 17 points on the weekend. And hit the game winner, essentially.
Everybody who left Adelaide seems happier this year. And
certainly happier. I was going to actually, this is going to be the next thing for the pod next week, was look at who's left Adelaide and gone on to do well.
Well, let's put a pin in that. We'll come back to it.
In that, but on the surface of it, yeah.
Yeah.
Pinder, way better. Jack McVeigh, obviously better. Yeah. I'm just trying to think who else left.
And then
Tony Kroc is probably in Japan scoring 25 a game. I don't know.
And then Mitch McCarron's gone to Adelaide. And
Anyway. I actually think this is off topic, but I think Mitch McCarron is like a babysitter. He has to make sure that the ball goes from inbound to then quarter court, and then he delivers it over, and it's like, okay, I've done my job. And that's why his stats are so poor, but he's quite impactful and influential. They're a weird team. I can't. I'll have to watch them again to work it out.
Yeah, they're COVID affected this week, so we'll give them a rest.
Oh, poor guys.
Mm-hmm.
Brisbane and Cairns. I just want to go back to that quickly.
Okay.
I want to pose you this question. Who's better, Brisbane or Cairns? I'll give you some stats and a few things, and then you can make up your mind.
Yep.
Brisbane are sitting at 4-7, the second bottom. They've played, 11 games, whereas Cairns have only played the 7. They're 3-4.
Yeah.
Just to put a little footnote next to those Cairns wins, they've only, quote-unquote, only beaten Brisbane in that game most recently, Adelaide and Tasmania. So they haven't beaten really, other than Brisbane, anyone of real consequence.
Yeah.
I don't know how many of those have been home games, seemingly quite a lot of them. Are they better than Cairns? Better than Brisbane? Who's going to win the Battle of Queensland?
No, they are not better than Brisbane. But
will they beat them on the ladder?
No, they won't. They won't. They've got too many games, and they're out on their too many. Like Machado being out for such a long time is just killing them.
Isn't he returning though?
Well, maybe, but he'll have some rust, and I don't know. Just their overall talent level isn't there. So I just think over the course of the remaining season, they won't win enough. And Zimmerman. I got to sing that. The man, he's got flippers for hands, that guy. He cannot catch. He can't hold a ball. You know, he caught a ball out in a perimeter pass, I think it was, and he just kind of dropped it. He regained possession and handed it off, but nah, he's no good. Brisbane have got quality all over the court. They just need to find a way to channel it and get them all working at the same time.
The lack of defense
on Brisbane's behalf.
Brisbane's behalf. They don't. We can talk about who's going to finish better in the ladder and who's a better team, but there is no debate on the question which team plays defense better, and that's Cairns.
Yeah,
Brisbane play really lethargic defense. I mean, they were without Sobey, without their second best player.
Yeah.
Would the Wildcats be good without Cotton or Law? They'd probably drop a game. Yeah. So I give them, but they just don't play defense. Now that I think about it, Sobey's back in. Nah, this is not a conversation. Brisbane are better than that. But one thing I will say is we talk about Zimmerman. Zimmerman's getting 10 rebounds a game, and he does pull it down off the backboard.
Yeah.
He can't catch, and scoring is an issue, but he will rebound. He will stand and be 7 feet tall in their defensive keyway. But and I just can't go past the fact that Brisbane, this is a team that had Matt Hodgson, who's, you know, foul prone and not particularly liked at the minute, but a really impactful NBL player, at least could be, and certainly was when he was at the Bullets. You would agree with me, Andrew, that Sobey, Patterson, and Franks are enough to get, you would think, Brisbane ahead in the, over the standings of Cairns by the end of the year.
You would hope so, or the accountant is not going to be happy.
Yeah, you'd think so. But it's hard to forgive that from Hodgson, Magnate to Harrison and Salt. Not that I actually quite like Salt. I actually quite like Harrison. He had a really bad game, but they should do enough.
Yep.
Have you got anything else?
Bold prediction.
Have you got one? I'm trying to kind of rack my brain. I'm not so sure I do.
I'm going to make one bold prediction. So our bold prediction is something that's based on little to no evidence. There's no factual basis behind it, but it's a prediction. It's, consider this the Homicide Williams section of the show, right? Okay. Let me tell you, Chase Buford's not going to return next year.
Of who's choosing?
Mutual. It'll be official line will be mutual agreement, whatever.
Reconcile the differences.
Yep.
Wow. Other than what we've spoken about, I don't know. I think he's on a 3-year deal with no NBA. I mean, that's what I find. We can't keep doing this to the Kings. We can't keep trashing them. But 3 years with no NBA out, it's like, geez. It's like if I said, listen, I'm very sorry, Terry Hatcher, if you're listening. Oh, no, let's go with someone more contemporary.
Terry Hatcher, geez.
But it's like, listen, who's like a sex pinup now?
Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Listen, Tiffany Amber Thiessen, not interested, love. No. But insert sex symbol now. It's like, listen, when you come at me, not interested. Sorry, I've got my own thing. It's like, what? That would never come for you. I don't have a bold prediction. I'm so sorry. I'm having all kinds of fun here. I will say this. Bowl, if you had to give a lock for who's going to win a game, the best game of the round next round, and who's going to win,
all right.
That'll be my bold prediction.
Okay.
We've got Cairns, New Zealand, look. Sydney, Brisbane, Phoenix, Melbourne, Perth. That's the thing. Melbourne, Perth, February 12th, 8 o'clock. Sorry for the noise in the background, everyone.
It's all happening.
Melbourne, it's all happening. This is, we're going to end it here. Melbourne, Perth, who wins?
Melbourne, Perth.
In Melbourne.
Melbourne win. Although Cotton loves that stadium. Actually, Perth win. Change your mind. Perth win.
Nah, Melbourne are coming for loss. Melbourne win. And I'm very, very definitive on that. In Melbourne, Perth are going to have a bit of fatigue. That winner's fatigue a little bit. I think Melbourne. And there you go. Siren sounded. Game over. All right. Let's end it there. I can see we've got stuff going on. Thanks very much for listening, everyone. If you like the show, Patreon, I should say.
Yep.
If you follow us on Twitter. Listen to us on everything but Spotify. We're on Spotify. Listen to us on everything. And thanks very much. Andrew, any last words for everyone?
You know, I was driving in the car the other day listening back to our podcast, and you're like, you never have a last word. And I thought, I'm determined to think of a last word. I'm still thinking about it.